and welcome to another episode of the Made Musings podcast, the podcast where we raise awareness about disabilities, mental health, and different issues that impair mental health. And on today's episode, I am joined by Diana Winkler. She is an empowerment coach for women who have been in abusive relationships, and we are speaking with her from Arizona. So welcome to the Made Musings podcast, Diana.
Oh, thank you for inviting me onto the show. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. So, well, let's start with you. Who is Diana as a person?
Depends on how much time you have. The short answer would be I'm an abuse advocate. I have a podcast called The Wounds of the Faithful, and we talk about healing from abuse, which we're going to talk a little bit about today. I'm also a singer-songwriter, and you already know I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. It was 117 degrees Fahrenheit yesterday. Fun fact there. I also lead groups called Mending the Soul, which are small groups to help people to heal from domestic violence, abuse, and trauma. I am married to my husband, Brian, for 14 years, and we have 7 cats that we take care of here. So that's the short story.
So you are a mother of cats.
Yeah, that was an accident, actually.
Oh, thank you so much. Tell me, how did you get into this journey of advocating for people who have been in abusive?
Well, that's a great question, because if you would have asked me 20 years ago, I never would have thought I would be here advocating for abuse survivors. I was a victim of abuse with my ex-husband, my first husband. I was married to this man for 13 years and suffered emotional abuse, psychological abuse, spiritual abuse, financial abuse. I was a church planter, meaning we were starting churches all over the United States. I'm a Bible study leader. I was a leader in the church, Bible college graduate, and the church that I was a part of, the denomination that I was a part of, enabled the abuse that I received behind closed doors. The culture of the denomination was women didn't really have any rights in this in this religion. It was, you did what your husband told you to do. Your value as a woman was based on what you did to serve your husband and what you did to serve the church. Having children.
Well, you said the religious belief of this church is that you just did what your husband told you to do. What church is that, if I may ask?
Well, the denomination was Independent Fundamental Baptist Church.
Okay.
So, and of course, there are other denominations that have similar belief systems about women and about marginalized groups. So it was, you submitted to your husband, your children submitted to their father.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not necessarily a bad thing if you're in a healthy, loving marriage. But the church background that I was a part of, it was, you could not say no to your husband. So that's what I mean when they say you are supposed to do everything your husband says.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And so that is the culture. Women were told what to wear, who they could hang out with. They were not allowed to work outside the home. That was the culture of the church denomination that I was a part of. And there was a lot of abuse going on in my home, a lot of neglect, a lot of, as I mentioned, verbal abuse, psychological abuse. And I didn't really know that I was being abused, because you think that abuse means being hit. or being raped. That is definitely abuse, but I didn't experience any of that. And so I didn't think
it was abuse.
I didn't think that it was abuse. Oh, this is normal being treated this way. And if you weren't getting along with your husband or there were marriage problems, which we had, and I took him to counseling on three different occasions, if we had marriage problems, the counselor would tell me, the pastors would tell me, if you only would submit to your husband, you wouldn't have any marriage problems.
Is that the church counselor?
Yes, oh. And I went to three of them, and every one of them was that way. That is the kind of environment that I was in. I did what I was told. We served in the church, planting churches, and I was quote-unquote drinking the Kool-Aid, thinking that this was a good thing.
Right.
And yeah, for the longest time, I knew something was off. I knew I didn't enjoy or I didn't appreciate what I was going through. Because he would say that the house isn't clean enough. I spent too much on groceries. I hope you don't get fat because I would never get attracted to you. He was one of those people that.
And that's what you consider abuse right now.
Yes, that's some of what abuse is. I have quite a large list here because many people don't realize what abuse actually is or what things constitute abuse. So your original question was how did I get into advocating? Well, one, because I'm a survivor and I'm leaving a lot of stuff out. Eventually, I woke up one day and decided I am not going to put up with this anymore. I am depressed. I am not wanting to be in this marriage anymore. And I was always afraid to leave because you weren't allowed to get divorced. Yeah. You were an outcast if you were divorced.
Pause there for now. So from being a missionary and a church planter, you embarked on this journey with this man then, who was your husband at the time.
Yes.
Did you have any nice memories of doing those things with him? Was there any good times at all that you've had doing that?
Well, that is what we call the banality of abuse, is that you don't recognize the abuse because, okay, there are some good times, but that doesn't mean that it cancels out the abusive things that he did. Yes, we enjoyed the same kind of music. We went on fun trips together. I really enjoyed his family. He had come from a really good family, which was really confusing when we first got married that the abuse started because he didn't come from an abusive family. His parents and his siblings were wonderful people. And so, yes, I enjoyed being in ministry. I like helping people. The good times, though, were far and few between. I usually woke up wondering what kind of a mood he was going to be in from. I was going to be blamed for something that went wrong. Tell me what kind of car to drive, what kind of job I could be. He would accuse me of having affairs from everybody from the aerobics instructor to the librarian to the choir director.
He had affairs with him.
He would accuse me of having affairs, which.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
I'm, of course, summarizing a lot of things.
Yeah.
But he would accuse me of things, but he was doing business with swingers clubs and gay bars and.
As a pastor?
As a pastor now. That was something that the church frowned upon. In leadership, you kind of avoid going to certain places because of your reputation. He would go into these places and I would say, why are you going to a swingers club? And he would say, I'm telling others about Jesus. But behind the scenes, he was not sleeping with his own wife, so I didn't believe him. He, instead of having a normal sexual relationship with me, he would deny me sex. And I never knew why, but so it was kind of.
How did this relationship that seemed normal degenerate to relationship where he goes to swingers clubs, he doesn't even have sex with you as his wife, he doesn't speak to you, he does what he wants, he calls your names, he calls you all sort of things. How did he go from that?
Well, that's a good question, because he was hiding everything from the church. This was all behind the scenes. This was when he was in the ministry and at the church, he was this community leader. We were working with the children's program. He was great with the kids. He was looked upon in the community as a great leader. He was a good preacher. He was good looking. He was eloquent. People liked him. And so what was happening at church was not the same that was happening behind closed doors at our home.
And how did this abuse affect you as a person?
The abuse was, again, I didn't know I was being abused, but I sure didn't like the life that I was living. I did not want to be married. Probably after the 7th year, because we were married 13 years. I guess we were trying to initiate sex on our 13th anniversary. And at that point, I was so depressed. I didn't feel very valued as a woman. I didn't feel valued as a person. I felt that God had abandoned me. And we haven't talked very much about my faith, but I had always had a very strong faith. But this really damaged my faith in ways that took a long time to recover from. I felt that, well, why did you give me this husband that's abusing me? I'm a good Christian. I'm serving God. I'm helping people. I'm dedicating my life to serve, and I'm being treated terribly by my husband, and I cannot leave. I'm not allowed to leave, but eventually I was so deep into the depression, I didn't care anymore. I didn't care if the church wasn't going to allow me to get a divorce. I was like, I'm getting out of here before it destroys me, because I don't think my husband cares about me. And we tried to initiate sex during our 13th anniversary, and it was a disaster. It was a train wreck, like it usually is. And we zigged instead of zagged, and we literally physically bumped heads in the course of trying to initiate the sex. And we were both angry and in pain, and he went out to the living room, and I cried myself to sleep. And that was the day that I'm not doing this anymore. And yeah, I'm leaving a ton of things out. I decided to leave when he was going out of town in 4 months. I had 3 friends that knew what was going on that were going to help me get out. And
that's your support system.
That was the only support system I had, were 3 friends that were not, they were not members of the church that I went to. Okay. They were friends outside of the church.
All right.
And they were my support system. If I didn't have them, I don't think I would have left. And so I secretly made plans with the help of my 3 friends to get out. So I got, I got a job. Pardon me?
How did that happen?
How did that happen? Well, I didn't tell them I was leaving. I pretended everything was fine. And I said to my friends, I need my own cell phone. I need a P.O. box to put my mail in. I need an apartment of my own, and I need a place to put my stuff until I can move. Well, I think it was 2 weeks before he was supposed to go out of town on business, and I lost my job, and I freaked out because I had to have a job in order to leave, of course. And so I told my one girlfriend, Julie, and I told her what happened. And she said, you're not going to get another chance if you don't leave now. You can stay with me until you get on your feet.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Well, so that's what I did. I put him on a plane, pretended everything was fine, and I went and applied for a divorce with a lawyer, and then I moved all of my stuff into storage and stayed with my friend until I got a job and got my own apartment. But my husband, he all of a sudden wanted counseling again. He wanted to cooperate and he wanted to work on the marriage all of a sudden. Well, it was too late for that. So
after you moved out, and did you ever find out where you were?
No, I kept it a secret. Yeah. He did not know where I was. I didn't tell him where I was. We communicated only by email because I wanted a record of what was taking place between divorce proceedings. Yeah. And by the way, we did not have children. So that was probably another reason why I could leave, is because I didn't have to deal with fighting over custody. And I didn't care about property. I left everything to him because I just wanted out of this marriage. So I left him everything. I took my personal belongings and the car that was in my name, and I started my new life over. It was not easy. It was very difficult. I lost all my friends. Of course, I lost the church. I had to leave that denomination.
I mean, I know healing from abuse and narcissistic behavior and controlling behavior from partners takes a long time. It's as a Christian, in the first instance, you are not supposed to even separate or divorce from your husband. So during this period that you separated and you left your husband, what was going on in your mind, and what are the steps that you took to heal from that and to move on?
I'm so glad you asked, because that is probably the most difficult time for anybody that leaves an abuser. That is a delicate time, because you're starting all over again and everything is new and you're scared and trying to make it on your own. And I can't imagine what it would be like with kids to have to do that. I was definitely disappointed in myself. And I know this is misplaced blame. Well, I failed as a Christian because I failed in my marriage. Even though I did everything I could to save the marriage, I felt like I failed God. But, you know, when I left, I thought that I was going to feel condemnation from God, which I was thinking he's going to punish me. All these terrible things are going to happen. But the total opposite happened. I was sitting there at my friend's house in my bed. And yes, I was very sad and traumatized. But all I could feel was from God was kindness and love and compassion. And I don't have a Bible verse to prove that. It's just how I felt. And it was opposite of what I expected. I felt love from God in that time frame. And I started going to my friend's church, which was a different denomination. And boy, that was a wake-up call for me that, wow, these folks love God, love Jesus. And yeah, they're a bit different than where I came from, but they value women. They value people. They value differences.
Yeah.
And I went, and part of my healing was to find a church that I felt comfortable in, that accepted me as I was, which I did. Who, they didn't care if I was divorced. It was a long time before I found one that I was comfortable with, but that was the start of my healing. Is okay, now I'm reading my Bible again. I'm praying again. I'm excited about going to church again. I felt valued. I felt appreciated that I have a purpose in my life besides being a wife and a mother that only existed to please a man. And so I had some counseling from the pastor that I went, the new church that I went to. I was counseled by a pastor and his wife. And I went through divorce care. That's a group that goes through processing being divorced and what does that mean. But I really didn't fully get into my healing journey until my now husband Brian and we were starting to look for churches to serve at together. And they had at the church we're at now, Mending the Soul. And Mending the Soul is a small group that helps people to heal from all kinds of abuse. I was talking with the
people that you now advocate for.
Those groups are what I'm leading now because I went through my own group for processing the abuse and trauma that I've been through. And so now, yes, I now lead my own groups. I got certified to lead my own groups. And I thought that I was healed until I went through Mending the Soul. But there were some closets I hadn't explored and some corners I hadn't swept out. And we processed and talked about how does God feel about us? How does he really feel about us, especially when we've gone through abuse? Did God allow the abuse? Did he cause the abuse? And we explore these things. Was it my fault? And you find out.
It's not
your fault. You find that out, that it wasn't your fault. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your abuser says. There's nothing that you do to deserve being abused.
Yeah.
And we go through many different types of abuse. So we mentioned physical abuse, like hitting. Now, my ex-husband did not physically hit me, as we mentioned, but he did every other kind of abuse. Mm. I've got a list here.
What's that?
Physical neglect, emotional neglect, educational neglect, sexual abuse, spiritual, religious abuse. I didn't have children, so I'm not going to list that for myself. Property, violence, passive aggression, patriarchy, humiliation. He used to humiliate me all the time in public. Intimidation, threats, stonewalling, economic abuse. Of course, we already spoke about verbal and psychological abuse. So once we have processed that.
And where are you now in your recovery journey? And what are some of those resources that actually helped you?
My recovery journey is a lot of it's music. As a musician, music was always a part of my life since a child. And the music was always there. Even when I was going through some really terrible times, the music is soothing to the soul and it's encouraging and it's uplifting. And God is able to reach me in the music when maybe I was mad at him or didn't understand what was going on or didn't think that he was listening. And music is still a wonderful tool for healing. I have written some songs about my journey and I've recorded some songs encouraging about healing. And so that's one of the things. Two, of course, leading my groups. Mending the Soul, I'm in the middle of a group right now. And I'm in a wonderful, healthy church that values women in leadership. We have, of course, Mending the Soul groups at our church. We are very protective of children. I didn't experience any abuse in my childhood. I did not come from an abusive childhood.
Yeah.
Although not a perfect family, but I didn't know any abuse in my childhood. But I know many people do.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find a church that maintains the safety of children and protects them from not only abusers outside the church that come in, but also recognizing abuse in families and getting help for those children. And I think that the podcast that I started, and I'm on year number 5, as of in November, it'll be 5 years that I'll be doing the podcast. And it actually flowed out of the small groups that I was leading. This was in 2020.
So that's one of the resources that's helped you heal from that.
Absolutely. I learned so much from all the ladies in my groups. I learn a lot from the people that are guests on my podcast, different experts.
Yeah.
From different types of abuse, other survivors' stories. I've learned so much and I'm able to help others to get out. And my husband is a very big supporter of me. He's also a survivor himself.
That's your current husband.
Brian is my current husband, yes.
Yeah.
He's a big supporter of my ministry, my recovery. He has his own story, which is a podcast in and of itself. But yes, and yeah, I have a day job, and that is in healthcare. I work at a, a hospital. I'm an advocate at my hospital for people that have gone through traumatic events at the hospital. So,
oh, that's very nice of you. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a really great, healthy, supportive place too, which it does play a part in my mental health.
It sounds like you still have your faith in God right now. So, tell me one thing that's helped you, your faith, through all this.
Yeah, thank you so much for asking that. I am in a very different place with God now, because before it was following rules and doing what I was told. That was the kind of the relationship I had with God. That was my faith, was the more that I did, the more godly I was. Let's say that. The more that I did for the church, the more that I did what I was told, then everybody would see me as a good Christian. Which, when I got out of the abuse, my relationship with God changed, because there isn't anything we can do to earn God's love. He loves us already. Warts and all, problems and all, He loves me for who I am. And He was there to be alongside of me during the abuse. He was mourning my abuse. He did not want that for me. And my relationship with God has helped by doing my own Bible studies, not looking in the Bible where the church wanted me to look, because when I did women's Bible studies in the previous denomination, it was always about obeying your husband and being a good mother to your kids and doing what the pastor tells you to do. It was all very legalistic and rules-based, whereas when you read the Bible for yourself, you read stories about grace, God's grace, and heroes in the Bible, like Deborah, who was a judge and a prophetess, and people in the Bible like Hagar, who was abused, but God saw her and attended to her needs, and people like Esther, who saved her people from the destruction and was very brave, and people in the Bible like Mary and Martha, who ministered to Jesus after he was in the grave and saw the risen Savior. Reading the Bible for myself has done a lot for healing and my faith.
Oh, that's it. I'm afraid I really have to stop now. We just have to round up now because we are running out of time. Where can listeners find you? Do you have social media handles?
Yes, all of my social media, my handle is dswministries.org is my company, my handle name. So Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram is all DSW Ministries. My website is dswministries.org. My email is diana@dswministries.org. You can find me on podcasts, platforms. The Wounds of the Faithful podcast is my podcast. So reach out to me if you need help. I'm more than happy to help you.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And it's been amazing, really, hearing your story. And it's quite inspiring what you've gone through. And you've transformed now to someone who also helps others in similar situations. So that's just what we aim to get out for our listeners, to encourage them, to make them know that there's still hope, even though we live in a hopeless society. So thank you so much. And this podcast will be on every podcast platform. Please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Thank you so much again, and have a great evening.
Thank you so much.
You know those cravings that hit you out of nowhere? Charred steak tacos, silky mushroom risotto, or a perfect summer salad. When the craving hits, CookUnity delivers, made with real ingredients and no shortcuts. CookUnity was made for adventurous eaters, with 160-plus award-winning chefs curating an ever-expanding menu of small batch meals. get ready-to-eat meals delivered directly to your door, all tailored to your lifestyle, dietary needs, and cravings. Their roster of Food Network alums, James Beard Award winners, and acclaimed restaurateurs balance bold flavors and nutrition in their handcrafted meals, which are freshly prepared, delivered to your door, and never frozen. Get what you're craving. Try the freshest, best-tasting meal delivery made by your favorite celebrity chefs. Go to cookunity.com/crave or enter code CRAVE before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's free premium meals for life at cookunity.com/crave.